chewing on this text from Genesis, it struck me that faith is in fact hard work. We've all heard it and we've all said it. Just have faith. But are they aware, or are we aware when we say that, that we're asking someone to really do some hard work? When I hear someone say to me, just have faith, are they saying, Stephen, just sit back and wait for the situation to unfold and for God to act? Oh, yes, I think in some cases that may be true. But faith is not us sitting around on our fannies waiting and waiting for the float to fall under the water so that the reward might be a big fish. No, not Jonah's fish. We've already dealt with that. I mean a fish like a steelhead trout, or in my case, a big salmon or cod. I've been thinking about how faith and gospel has been portrayed that preaches rewards. There's the prosperity gospel that will tell us that God wants us to have financial success and physical well-being. So what do? We pray and we give our money to the preacher's religious causes, which sometimes I believe are more about silver and gold, fancy houses, big cars, and air conditioning dog houses. And so and so. But if we keep it up long enough, bam, we'll be wealthy too. This faith seems to me to be no more than putting a check in the mail. And then wealth comes from a pack of miracle water or the prosperity of some evangelistic man or woman that we see on TV. Then there's what I call the plastic gospel. In this gospel, you have a Jesus that you can twist and turn and bend and shape in any way that you need Jesus to be to fit your situation or the situation. This Jesus in the plastic gospel is the love Messiah, is the protector Messiah, and is the rock star Jesus. And by the way, friends, if you are at all interested, you can go on Amazon, and for the very low price, this is not an advertisement, believe me, for the very low price of $12.99, you can get yourself a bobbing plastic Jesus. And you can put this Jesus on your dashboard of your vehicle. But it is not only a plastic Jesus you get for $12.99, you also get a box of Jesus Band-Aids. And wait for it. You also get a gift card. My guess is the Band-Aids are for you to put in your glove box so when you have a wreck by looking at Jesus going up and down on the dashboard, you'll have some Band-Aids for yourself. Then there's another plastic Jesus for our dashboard that caught my eye. He's a little cheaper, but he's cool. That's why he's called the Cool Jesus. But he will only set you back for $15.95. Remember, people, on Amazon you get next day delivery. This cool buddy Jesus, I guess, is to help us keep our cool when we lose our cool and lose our temper because of the nuts on 81. Or, for goodness sake, those of us who travel 220 certainly need the cool buddy Jesus, because apparently 220 is a racetrack for 18-wheelers. I thought it was a highway. With the plastic Jesus gospel comes the feel-good rock and roll Jesus and the Jesus music, where we can love Jesus and pray Jesus and wave our hands to Jesus, and you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Please don't misunderstand me here. I'm not putting down these methods of Christianity, because there are lots of people who believe in them. I have my opinions, as you probably guessed by now, but this is a holy place, and I'm not going to allow my opinions to be shared, because this is not the place for it, because this sanctuary is a place of truth. And the truth is, faith is hard work. Abram tells us as such. Because if you look at Abram, you see that faith is difficult. Look at what God promises Abram. Our father of faith, and remember, we are part of the Amoraic faith ourselves. He knew how hard it was to have faith. After all, God kept telling him that he was going to have an offspring. He was going to have so many, in fact, that it was as much as the sand and the stars. But here he was, without a son. So how could it be when God leads him to look at the stars? If we look at Genesis 12 through 18, we will see that God promises Moses 8 times that promise of offspring and greatness of land. Now that time span takes up about 25 years of his life. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, then we'll pick up with the verse in verse 7. Now the Lord said to Abram, From your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you, and your name will be great as that with your blessing. And with that, you'd be blessed. And then verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And then we go over to chapter 13. Verse 16. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that it can be counted the dust of the earth. This says dust in my translation. Others of you will see the word sand instead of dust. Then chapter 15, verse 1, it's what we read a few minutes ago. Virginia read to us a few minutes ago. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward will be great. And then over in verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, that your offspring will be aliens in the land that is not theirs. Then chapter 16. I'm sorry, it's chapter 17, verse 7. We'll start with verse 6. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generation. And then chapter 18, verse 10. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season. This is where the three men show up on camel and speak to Abram and Sarah's in the tent making cakes. I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. And of course, when she hears that, she stops baking and starts laughing. Eight times, God says to Abram, don't be afraid, the reward's coming. The reward of a son and the reward of land and great offspring. I would have a tendency, if I were Abram, to say something like this to God. Now listen, you've been promising and promising and promising me a son. It's been 25 years you've made this promise, and now I'm a century old. And you're telling me that now I'm going to be a daddy? Quite frankly, God, I don't blame Sarah for laughing. Get real, God. Just get real with me. The laws of nature tell me otherwise. We're too old. By the way, God, how about if you're going to make promises, you keep them? If you're going to promise rewards to people, how about keeping them or not making promises at all? You see, friends, faith is hard work. And I don't want you to miss it, because God does it again. God goes against Mother Nature. And he does it with a young woman by the name of Mary. Now don't be afraid, Mary, the angel says. You're going to have a son. And Mary, like Abram, says, well, I'm not sure because I'm a virgin. And the angel said, don't worry. Have faith. And you're going to have a son, and the whole world is going to have a Messiah. You and the world is going to have a great reward, so don't be afraid, Mary. Name him Jesus. It took some strong faith on Mary's part, as it took on Sarah's part. And how about Joseph? He had to have some faith like Abram. Because by law, Joseph really would have taken Mary out and had her stoned. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. See, faith is not easy, but the rewards are great. For Abram, it would not only be the reward of Isaac, but it would be the land promised. An offspring as many as the stars of the sky. By faith, we are a part of that offspring. In Matthew 5, where Matthew gives us the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us that our reward is in heaven, Lord comes, the just reward, and it comes to us not because of some reasoning, because we had to reason all this out, well, I don't know where we'd be. It's not about reasoning. It is about being aware that God is God, and God is the God of the possibilities. So is there going to be a Brinks truck backed up to all of our doors when we get out of worship today? And for those of you who are watching, is the doorbell going to ring once the service is over with the Brinks truck backed up?
No.
Are all of our troubles going to go away? Is this arthritis in my hand that keeps hurting? Are our pains going to evaporate? Are the illnesses going to cease? Are there going to be instant cures? Are relationships going to be saved by waving our hands and singing Love Jesus music? No. It's not going to happen because faith is hard work. In the Baptist faith of my youth, I was going to tell you last time, I'm going to tell you this time. I was born in the church. I mean, almost. I can't decide if the sermon was good or bad, but anyway, I told my mom it's time to go. So I've been in Baptist life for all my life, literally. And somehow, or somewhere, I learned about rewards. I'm not certain how it was all presented to me over time, but what I do know is it's gotten into my bones. And it came to me from Sunday school teachers who were good at their job of teaching Sunday school. And it came from ministers who were strong and solid people in faith and in their theological understanding, because they had gone to Southern Seminary, where I would go later to be in their footsteps. But the belief is still there, and it is that God wants to reward our faithfulness. And that's not altogether wrong, as Abram tells us. He tells us that our reward for faithfulness comes, but it comes not in the way that we want it. That's the sticky part. I've had some difficulty that I'm not going to go into that has caused some issues with my own mental health and interrupted some things in my life. And I listened to my own prayers, which I think is always a good idea. And I've heard myself praying something like this. God, I'm your servant. I've been faithful to your call to do your work. So please provide me another way. In other words, reward me. Reward me with something that I believe will make my mental health and my life experience in a way that I think will be both beneficial for me and beneficial for the kingdom of God. Then it occurred one day as I was praying and listening, I heard the voice that said, "Wait, Stephen. This is from God, my interpretation. I didn't promise Jesus another way. In fact, Jesus spent a lot of nights in prayer, the whole nights in prayer. You've read it in the Gospels. And in fact, Stephen, Jesus prayed so hard one night that Luke tells us his sweat were like blood, like drops of blood. It's not easy, this faith you've been called to. Because God never promised that we were going to have an easy life. From our father, Abram, to our Savior, Jesus, it is clear that this is hard work, this faith. And it's not about our way, it is about God's way. And my experience is that God's way is not an easy way. Because faith is hard work, but the just reward is greater. And Jesus had that faith, even when the nails were being driven into his body. As Christ drew his last breath, he had the faith that requires hard work. So all I know, people, is that from the collection of people in Holy Bible comes this truth. Faith is hard work. And we have to believe, and we have to hope, and we have to commit. And in due time, the reward will come. Eternal life, yes. And maybe, just maybe, some other reward. And sometimes we call that reward a miracle. Because it's actually God knowing all the possibilities, and that one possibility will come and change our life or some aspect of our life. So have faith. It's hard work. You've done it before, so keep doing it, because the just reward is great. Let us pray. As we've come to this holy sanctuary, or we've made that place in our homes sanctuary for this time this morning, let us be brave and strong enough to battle with our faith, and let it become stronger. And if we go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 1, we discover that we could be selfish people wanting things our own way. But it is really your way that we need to strive for. And to listen closely to see who's talking. Are we talking out of our own language, wanting our own way? Or are we listening to the words of you, our God? So as we draw ourselves closer to the end of our service, you remind us that we have many opportunities to give to you some of what has been given to us. Our giving is about our faith. It's about being willing to sacrifice. So may you bless our giving, whether it's done here in the offering plates or at home by electronic giving. And also as we give ourselves to whatever role we have taken within this church family. We know you're going to bless us, because you have and you will. But let us make sure it's what you want when we ask for blessings, and not what we want.
To this and to all things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.